Hello, everyone. Before we start the show, I just wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you to all of our listeners and supporters, and give a very special thank you to our latest patrons. So thank you, Trey, and thank you, Jeanette. If any of you out there are curious about how to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/theeldritchhour, or check the various links in our show notes for other ways that you can support the show. Now, on to the next episode of The Wild Hunt. The Eldritch Hour is a horror-themed tabletop roleplay podcast containing violent and mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Betwixt the spaces we know, just beyond the fringe of human experience, old and strange things worm their way through the black matter of the universe, uncaring and unyielding. But there is a moment when the mucus-thin veil between our reality and theirs is worn and split. When the other reaches through the cosmic loam and touches an unlucky few. This moment is known as the Eldritch Hour.
It's not my first rodeo.
Ooh. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. God.
Holy hell.
Okay. I got a 17 out of 75 for my sanity check.
I got an 18 out of 65.
I got a 5.
With that, none of you lose any sanity. Luther, obviously having been around some gruesome bodies before, semi-recently, in fact, around beheaded folks before. And Casey, you've maybe tagged along obviously on a few cases, and you've seen death. You've been around it. And Finn, you're part of the Irish family. Like, you know, you haven't disposed of anybody's, but you're no stranger to dead ones. So, but yeah, you survey this scene. How are you approaching the situation?
By letting the detectives go first.
Can I do a spot hidden?
Okay.
I want to be up close to the body and just start inspecting it for anything.
Sure.
Particular.
Okay. Yeah.
Anything that stands out as a clue. Nope.
Ooh, a clue.
Oh, no.
A 91 and a 60.
All right.
I'm not doing so hot. Guys. Things
well, you generally you can tell, obviously, the head is missing. That is the most likely cause of death.
You know what? I think she was beheaded, guys.
Yeah. Beyond that, there do appear to be multiple stab wounds and like other scrapes and scratches. But you don't really pick up on anything like in terms of like a pattern or anything like that about them, would be able to tell like anything more than just like she was maimed quite a bit in addition to being beheaded. What about you, Luther? What are you doing?
I don't know what kind of check this would be, if any. I'm curious how clean the decapitation is, like if it's by blade or other.
It is very unclean. There's no roll needed for that. It is obvious that the head was ripped, probably straight off in some way, which you could obviously guess would take a considerable amount of force to do. But the neckline is, there's no clean cut. And it doesn't even look like it was like maybe sawed or anything. Like it's very rough, but to the point where like it was like taken off in one go.
Yeah, I guess I would then want to inspect the, I guess, intactness/condition of the head. If it was grabbed and wrenched off by something, I'm sure there's some kind of evidence of that left on it. So,
okay. Yeah, you kind of look at the neck and then start to make your way towards the head, which is a few feet away. Finn, are you doing anything while these two are doing this? Where is your attention at?
What's the, we're in an alleyway, so what are the two buildings? What are the, apartment buildings or just normal storefronts?
Yeah, you would actually know, you would recognize the building that the body is leaning against as an apartment building. You've actually probably been here on one or two occasions at the very least, either dropping folks off, perhaps, come here on a collections run with some of the boys from folks here, or maybe some of the boys you've been driving over here dropping stuff off to folks, parcels and whatnot. So it's a familiar South End apartment building. It's pretty run down. It is not for the well-off, very low-income housing.
Is there
the building across is the top, the upper half would also be apartments. Same kind of situation. And the lower part is a just a very small, modest bakery the neighborhood.
Is there windows overlooking the alleyway, or is there a fire escape or like a fire exit
Yeah, door there definitely into the alley? Is. There's not an exit door into the alley, but there are fire escapes. There's like two fire escapes, one much nearer to you guys on this end of the alley, and then you can see one way down at the other end of the, where the alley comes out on the next block over. And there would be a few windows, yeah, from probably every unit all along this side.
Is there like a bunch of
4 to 5 floor building? Because in this period there weren't skyscrapers or anything like that, so it's not a very tall building.
What else is in the alley? Is there like trash bags or dumpsters or something?
Or is it there would be a few trash cans. I don't know that I've ever had to think about whether or not dumpsters were a thing in the 1920s. I don't know that they are. At least certainly not to the prevalence that we have them now.
Sure.
My guess is there's probably like old-fashioned aluminum big trash bins, you know, salt and peppered all the way down, like maybe a couple every so often. Okay. But again, there's no doors leading into, there's a door leading from the bakery to the alley where they would dispose of their trash. But the apartment complex does not have any doors leading into the alleyway. So there wouldn't be any bins on that side. There would be on the other side.
Okay. Yep. That was my turn, just observing the alley and seeing like
sure.
if there was a spot where people could have seen something.
Yeah. It's pretty dark in here, especially given the hour. In fact, have you left the headlights on? Do any of you have flashlights? How are you observing the situation? Because as I said, it's 4:30 a.m. So in December, it's pitch black at the moment, other than maybe a street light on the nearby corner and the headlights from the car, if you've left them on.
So when I went to, or what I was going to do to park the car was to park it blocking the alley so that people wouldn't be able to see into what we were doing. So probably not headlight.
No headlights
unless
on.
It's like,
okay.
You know, reflected out or something like that. I figured that was better than just parking the headlights flooding down the alley and definitely drawing attention as opposed to pulling up next to it and just blocking.
Okay. Very good.
I imagine Casey has a flashlight.
Okay.
I think Luther has a small torch with the like light gear he probably would have packed for the trip.
Sure. Okay. Using some flashlights then. So yeah, Finn, you're kind of just catching this, what you can see down the alley, given those two have flashlights. So.
Yeah, you know, Detective, I think I know a lad that lives up here in this apartment. Obviously, they're probably still asleep at this hour, but I know someone that lives up in there. And also the bakery right here, they got great bread. Great, great fucking bread, I'm telling you.
Well, it appears you haven't lost your appetite at the scene on display here, Finn.
Eh, I mean, sometimes cooler heads prevail. Am I right? Sorry, that wasn't funny.
Yeah. Do you know if this location has any sort of significance that might be why someone was dumped here?
Southie Projects, man. There's a lot of poor folk that live around here. Maybe they're trying to make it seem like we did this, but I don't know. There ain't no way. She got along great with us.
You know her.
My family knows her. My family knows people that knows her. I never knew her personally, but they held her in some high regard. No, I don't know her name. I just got the address.
Well, it seems like
my
this
brother
was,
Mikey. He seemed to know who she was and recognize the name, but I didn't.
Well, it seems like this was meant for y'all to find. So. Keep that in mind. Keep your wits about you.
As you're saying this, Luther, you're obviously inspecting the head. It seems to have taken, like, some amount of damage. There is... It's a little hard to tell in the dark here, but it looks like it was definitely, like, gripped. As there are some indentation marks, like that are bleeding or were bleeding across the scalp, and there's some bruising, like on the cheeks.
he's doing this inspecting of the head exclusively with the eraser end of his pencil. So he's just like trying not to touch it as best as he can.
Yeah. Casey, as you're looking over the body, you've noticed obviously all these scratches and stab wounds and such, tangled around the wrist on one of the hands is the strap to a like a pastel colored ring mesh bag that is open. Looks like some of the contents have been strewn out over the alley.
Oh, you know I'm looking at them contents.
You, as you kind of like maybe shine your flashlight around the area, can you give me a spot hidden? You, with that hard success, that's excellent. You notice that for a bag maybe dropped as the body like fell or had hit the ground and opened. The contents, there are several things that have gone much farther than you would think possible. Like you notice a few like roll trails and like a couple things dotting in the snow down the alley, like close to, you know, 5, 6, 7 feet away. And so as you're looking around, you find a number of things. On the ground, there is a cigarette case, a golden one. Looks probably like it's gilded, not actually made of gold. There is two keys on the ground right near the bag. Ooh. On a ring. And a lighter and a tube of lipstick are the two items that are farther away down the alley. And then kind of hanging out of the bag looks to be the corner of like a makeup compact and a stack of bills. And then the bag does look like it probably still has a couple of things like in it. Like it is still a little bit stuffed.
Yeah, she probably picks up the keys with like with also like her pencil as she's like jotting down notes. Picks them up with like using the ring to inspect them further to see if there's anything like on them, like inscription wise, to see in any way would lead to what they are for. Which is not how keys work, but we're gonna try.
I was going to say, the only thing you notice is there is a number on one of the keys.
What's the number?
506. But they do look generically like possibly a building key or an apartment key, or they certainly don't look like car keys of the day. And they're not tiny, so they wouldn't be like to a lockbox or something like that. You know, they're generically sized keys.
I basically want to pick up and look at everything further.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Before I describe all of this, while Casey is doing any of this, what are the other two of you doing? Finn, at this point, like you've gotten as clear of a view as the alley as you can get. Luther's standing over this head, kind of poking at it with his pencil, and Casey is obviously bent down to start looking at some of the content, or at least like the wrist and this bag on the body. What are you doing at this point?
Opposite of the body on the other wall.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go look around there to see if anything sticks out, I guess.
Sure. You want to just give me a spot hidden?
77 on 60.
You don't really notice anything stand out on the opposite side. There are, you do like it kind of as you like maybe glance across the alley and then like up the wall. You do catch, there are some footprints in the alley that no one has seen yet, or at least mentioned out loud. They don't look human though.
I'm gonna get closer before I. Well, no, out exactly. What's this over here? And then I'm gonna get closer to inspect. Just kind of saying it out loud, not to anybody in particular.
Okay.
Just so there's a verbal acknowledgement that you're doing something.
Yeah. You kind of bend down. And in the dim lighting, you can tell that they look kind of like hoof-like, like cloven, maybe horse. Could be a goat, but it's pretty large for a goat. Definitely seem like maybe horse prints.
People don't ride horses all that much these days, do they?
What?
Is that a trick question?
Looks like a fucking horse footprint. A hoof. I don't know. A horse walked through here.
And you realize now, as you're like looking down and saying this and like kind of surveying, there's a lot of them in addition to the ladies' footprints, which are clearly in like, they're like flats, women's flats. And there's a mess of them in the area from both.
Detectives, what do y'all make of this?
Yeah, I think Luther's going to stand up, give you some light with his torch for just a moment, and just sort of like scan over what you found. And then I'm going to, I guess to the other two, it's going to seem weird how much he doesn't care, but he's going to look straight up, like along like the fire escapes and the walls for anything similar, like damage to the fire escape that seems unnatural, or brickwork, or that sort of thing.
You find nothing. No roll needed. There doesn't appear to be any disruption along the side of the building or the fire escape nearby. Windows are all intact.
Is the ladder to the fire escape fully up?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, it has not been lowered at all.
All right. Yeah, I'll slowly head over towards Finn after that, like, pause, and I don't know. I think Luther just looks really introspective at the moment.
Okay. KC, as you are listening to this, you've been obviously surveying these items and kind of gone through the bag at this point too. So you've collected everything, and the lipstick is very nice. You would recognize as worn by someone with a little bit of money. It's not your your very, very average. The lighter is also nice. It is almost like a Zippo, like a closed top silver lighter, with just like a nice embroidered like filigree inlay. No other denoting marks on it. Nothing notable on the cigarette case. It is just a kind of a run-of-the-mill gilded looking cigarette case, but it is filled with cigarettes. There's like two missing. The compact, again, nothing special. The money is about $200, which by our standards, today, that's about $2,500.
Cash.
Person. Yeah. There is some spare loose change as well in the recesses of the small bag. But the two most notable items are, there is a very expensive multi-tool in the bag. Almost like a little bit of a larger Swiss Army knife, like screwdriver.
Like a leather knife?
Corkscrew. Yeah. Yeah. And a small notebook.
Oh, let me flip.
Just black cover. Yeah. Black cover. Nothing, no wordings or letters on the outside in any way. Mm-hmm. As you open it up, there doesn't seem to be, like, all it is two columns on every page for a few pages. And I'm going to give you a handout.
I love handouts.
Because who doesn't love handouts? You flip through and there's just on one page are dates. On the opposite page are pairings of letters.
Yeah, there sure are.
All the way across. And then on the last page before the rest of the notebook is just empty, there is one notation that says Shupo.
S-C-H-U-P-O. I was like, what is that word?
Yeah, it just says Shupo. S-C-H-U-P-O. Underlined.
Oh, Oh boy, I hope we're ready for me to spend hours decoding this when we find out, like, a cipher or some shit. Gonna lose my goddamn mind. Are those U's or V's?
There's V's.
Okay, they're all V's? Okay.
Yeah. And there's no other text in here at all. No, like, journal entries, no nothing, no names. It is just these few columns with dates ranging everywhere from, like, 1920 to the current date. The last one, like, near the Shupo, which is not necessarily shown in the handout, was only a few days ago. Like,
hey, two days ago. I got a question. Why are all these dates written European style? The fuck, Josh?
Very good. So so Jeanette noticed that, but let's actually have Casey make an intelligence roll.
That's a thing? That's a thing? 67 out of 80.
All right.
Oh, the dates are written European.
The dates are written European, and... with that knowledge, well, let me ask you this. Your father, does he have a history in the military?
I didn't make up his history, so...
okay.
Yes?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll play the bone here if you want him to have it.
I mean, you got military in the family, so...
Might as well.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In all the ways.
You would know this to be of German military origin, like a cipher, like you said out loud. As Jeanette.
Jeanette is top of it.
It's known as a Polybius cipher. And you would need the actual cipher itself to decode anything in here. But it is often used by the German military.
Fucking classic Germans, man. Gotta be wonked out. Okay. All right, cool. I guess after all of that, she's gonna say out loud, well, whatever did this didn't want a money. And just hold up the, like, bills that she took from the purse.
And didn't want her body either.
Ah. Yo, how much is that?
$200.
Les, it's crazy walking around this side of town with $200 in a pocket. All due respect to the departed here, but just saying, this is not the right kind of town to do that in.
I'm going to inspect the hooves. I'd like to assume that they came from the other side of the alley, since we didn't see any coming up to the scene from where we came in at. So I just want to move past the area where the hooves and her footprints commingle to see if perhaps they become solitary at some point or...
Sure. Give me 1 second on that.
Mm-hmm.
You, the hooves do approach from deeper within the alley, it would appear. Like, obviously, as I said before, there's a scuffle area, and then there's a set that look like they approach, and a set that looks like they leave back the same way. They end and start mid-alley near no doors or fire escapes.
So the hooves appear out of nowhere leading to the scuffle.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. And then at the other side of the alley, the first set of footprints I found don't even get to that position. Like, don't even get close to the other footprints.
Yeah,
at
don't
all.
Even get near. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And her footprints?
Her footprints are coming from the opposite side of the street that you're parked on, coming from, like, they go
so
out.
So she came in the way we came in.
Correct. But from the other side of the yeah. alley opening.
Oh, sure. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So if you're standing yeah. in the alley looking out from the way you came in, you would have come in from the right. She came in from the left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These hoof prints come from behind, from mid alley. And then there's yeah. another set going back the other way. The other like notable thing
jump
is
off of the fire escape.
It's not near the fire escape, though.
No, I know.
Yeah, I would say that it's probably a good 20 feet from the nearest fire escape.
Sure.
Yeah, just
or more.
And there's no other footprints or markings yeah. before that in the alley.
Correct. None. And the goat horse creature prints, hoof prints appear to be bipedal.
Hate that for us. Okay. So they don't leave at all. They enter the scuffle and they don't leave the scuffle.
No. Yes. Both. No.
Oh, they return to the place that they started, is what you're saying.
They enter from mid alley to the right. scuffle. There is scuffle yep. and then another set like goes back and then
to where they came from.
Yes. And there is yeah, no leaving.
And they end again
beyond that.
Got
yes.
it. Very good. Y'all return to the others.
Hey,
Okay.
Hey Finn. Are you packing any heat?
And I'll like gesture my jacket open to reveal my gun.
Not my thing, I guess is the best way to put it. I'll shoot guns that I don't carry. I don't.
Well, Mr. Baylor, my thing isn't saving your ass, and something ripped this woman's head off. So maybe reconsider.
I mean, would that little thing be able to take down something that can just whack a head off like that? Shouldn't you be looking to get something bigger?
Did you find anything, Miss Burnett?
That was a valid question. And I'm gonna walk back to the street.
No, he's just annoyed with Luther.
Yeah, yeah.
Just being honest.
Casey's gonna say, not much. Found a keys, though. Looks like one of these is an apartment key.
I, wonder why she came back to this alley. There's no way into the apartments from here.
Well, she has $200 cash on her. So maybe she was looking to hide from somebody?
Did her footprints in look rushed, like she was in a hurry, or were they just like normal?
You'd have to, I mean, at least the ones going like from the alley edge here, like near her body, don't appear to be no.
Okay.
Well, she walked at what looks to be a calm pace from what I can tell.
A lot of women walk with calm paces to get away from people they don't want to be seen by.
Sure. We don't have a whole lot to go on at the moment.
You're not wrong.
Now, I'm not an expert on female fashion, but would a woman be wearing a dress like that if she was trying to run away from somebody?
She may have not intended to run into the body, to begin with?
I don't think people plan on legging it.
People don't plan on getting beheaded in an alleyway.
Did you find anything else on the body, Miss Burnett? Just the keys? The money?
The keys, a few items in a purse. Some stab wounds, it looks like. Hey, Josh, would I recognize where the dress is from?
You mean like brand?
Brand, or because in the 20s, most fashion wasn't ready to wear. It was made to wear. So
yeah, sure.
You would have to have gone to like a dress shop potentially. So would I recognize the dress shop it was from?
I would say just if you're just looking at the body, like just checking the dress without like looking at her tags near her bloody neck. No, it doesn't appear familiar to you. Mm-hmm. It actually looks maybe foreign.
Ooh.
Like European in style.
At her mentioning stab wounds, I didn't notice that, or didn't notice that, whatever. So I'm going to look at that because, you know, people getting stabbed, that's not a crazy thing to me. So now I'm like, well, maybe I can, I'll take a look at this part.
Okay.
I know stab wounds.
Yeah. Like a better term. I know what it looks like when someone stabs. So can I take a look at that and try to like be like, oh, that's a big cut or like that might be this kind of knife or something.
Yeah, sure. Give me a, I don't want to ask for things other than spot hidden, but I feel like spot hidden would be.
We're kind of in the middle of an investigation.
Yeah, I know.
Could be, it could also be brawl, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like to get away from spot hidden because I told you my fighting. That's... I was wanting to do knife fighting, and you said that was brawl. So like,
yeah,
use that
for sure. Yeah, I would definitely take a brawl roll to assess this. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, she was stabbed. Yeah.
She definitely was. I'll tell you what, though. Because your result, which was a 79, would be considered a success against your intelligence, I'll throw you this. You do notice that her forearms, particularly underneath, have quite a number of cuts and scrapes, as if she shielded herself. Like held her arms high.
Defensive
to deflect
wounds.
A lot of blows.
Defensive, yeah.
But as far as any of the other wounds themselves, you can't really discern anything particular about them.
How many stab wounds are there? Like, are they in the? I know you said her arms were scratched up, but she was stabbed in the chest and in the gut and stuff.
Yeah. She's got a few. Yeah. Throughout her torso, couple scrapes and stuff on her legs and her, and like I said, several cuts and stuff on her, underneath her forearms.
The last put up a fight a bit. She's all cut up on her arms right there. You know, when you try to block a knife attack, you kind of, you know, tuck your elbows together, kind of like you're boxing almost, but it doesn't seem like she helped it out a whole lot.
Only buys a little bit of time, usually.
Miss Bennett, you didn't find any kind of self-defense weapon?
Not that I saw. Nothing that was in her bag or around her body.
At the mention of the bag, Finn, maybe, you know, you look down at it. With Casey being more focused on the contents, she didn't quite catch that there's a tuft of fur clinging to one of the rings in the mesh on the bag underneath, kind of like you notice it kind of just barely sticking out there. It looks like gray, long, and like matted fur. Very coarse.
Yeah, I'm going to squat down and pick up the bag and hold that part up. Miss Bennett, is this some kind of fashion statement here?
You really don't get around women, do you?
I don't pretend to know them. They're strange creatures to me.
Well?
Just say, I don't wear dresses. I don't put fur on my wallets or anything like that. So this don't seem normal to me. So I'm trying to ask an expert here in two fields, as it were. Because, you know, you are in fact a woman detective.
You talk a lot, Finn.
Thank you.
Can Casey now take the fur, like pinch it with two fingers and take it from him?
Yeah, you can pluck it off the bag. Yeah. It is not, in fact, a fashion statement. It looks like it was caught and ripped. Mm-hmm. Like maybe when the bag struck whatever thing had fur on it.
Mm-hmm. I don't think horses typically have fur unless this is from the mane.
I was about to speak as Luther with knowledge that Joey has. Can I make an intelligence check?
It's real rough sometimes.
Can I make an intelligence check as Luther or whatever other check might be relevant here to see if Luther knows that horses don't have fur in the same way
they have hair? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Intelligence is fine.
Nope, he don't. Don't know nothing
Casey
about
do
that.
The intelligence check?
89, 65.
Sure. Yeah.
There we go.
Jesus.
We got a 14 out of 80.
Yeah, that'll do it.
What's this fur made of?
It reminds you most of like goat hair, like mountain goat hair. In Casey's history suggests she's ever experienced mountain goats, but it is definitely, I mean, you've probably been around farm animals at the very least. So you've seen goat fur, and felt it. This is very coarse, maybe about 4 inches long. This particular tuft, it's gray. It's kind of matted, but yeah, the closest animal that you could say that this came from is a goat.
This is gonna sound weird, gentlemen, but this fur is from a goat? Or at least something like a goat.
It's not that weird.
No, it's very weird. What's a goat doing in Southside Boston?
How far is the back door of the bakery from the scene of the crime?
I would say a good, like, 15 to 20 feet.
Like, into the alley?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, the bakery probably takes up half of the building bottom floor for this side of the street, right? And then whatever establishment is on the other end would take up the other half of that bottom building. And there's just the door to the bakery leading out. There's no other doors down here.
Mr. Baller, seeing as you know this area pretty well, I came to understand from Mr. Murdoch over the phone that this area was going to be kept private for us in some capacity. And seeing as it's about 6 in the morning, the people working the bakery have been here for a few hours. Do you think they're in there, or have they been made to not be in there by some of your people?
Not real sure what you're referring there by my people, but
I'm referring to the mob.
Now, Miss Mary's bakery, like they're up and running all the time.
So if I knock on that door, you think someone will answer it?
I mean, I don't know about that door. That's the back alley door. People don't normally come into the back door like that. So I don't know. But they should be in there working. Give it a knock.
I'm going to walk over to the door and try to open it.
It's locked. Yeah.
Then I will bang on it, yeah.
Yeah. All right. You hear some clanging, and then you hear a "Wait a minute!" and a slam of like metal on metal, and then some footsteps approach, and the door. You hear the door lock click, and it opens up. And there is a slightly rotund, rosy-cheeked woman there with a very dusty apron, red curl, like curly hair pulled back, and thick-rimmed glasses. And she's like, "Yeah, what do you want, Dallin? We're not open yet."
"Yeah, sorry to interrupt whatever you've got going on, but how long have you been here this morning? I'm Luther Nichols, by the way, private investigator."
Investigator? Oh, well, I've been here since about 3 o'clock. Opened up shop. Well, didn't open up shop, but came in for the morning. I start up my morning routine. Can I help you? Is something wrong?
I was just curious if you noticed anything strange on your way into work this morning. Anything off? I know it's quiet at that hour of the day, but
I can't say. Can you put the flashlight down, Mister?
No. No, I can't. I wouldn't want you to see the crime scene on the other side of this flashlight, ma'am, if you understand my meaning.
Oh, dear. Oh, she's kind of like got her, you know, hand up, like shielding her eyes and stuff. And I don't recall seeing anything weird. No, just the usual. It came in through the front door, got straight to work. It's just me today. I gave Bobby the night off.
I appreciate your time. I don't want to keep you too long. I just wanted to double check these things.
Oh, okay. What, did someone get killed or something?
Unfortunately, ma'am, yes. That is the case. I recommend you keep this door locked pretty tight unless you absolutely have to. I wouldn't come back here.
Luther, do you want to give me a persuade?
All right. That's a 49 out of 63. Okay. Regular success.
Yeah, she kind of gives you the best up and down she can. Like, kind of you can tell she's kind of like sizing you up a bit, like your face and your seriousness. Mm-hmm. And she kind of peeks a little under her arm, like past you into the alley, but then quickly kind of like reverts her gaze back and says, "Okay, dear Al. Yeah, we wouldn't get in the way. It's a shame, though. There's too much violence in this neighborhood. If we didn't do such good business, I'd move somewhere uptown."
"Yes, just be as safe as you can. Thank you for your time."
"Yeah, no problem. And she closes the door.
Do I hear it latch?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'll return the small ways back to the rest of them.
Baker didn't hear or notice anything this morning.
As you're approaching back and you say that to them, there is a red light starting to fill the alleyway as a car pulls up with a police light on and parks right behind your hot rod, Finn. And two gentlemen step out. One, a...
oh, shit, Austin.
A well-built man. Not too dissimilar from Luther's appearance. A little bit of stubble, hair kind of slicked back, but a little bit longer. And then the other gentleman... The first guy is also looks to be about Luther's age, maybe a little older. and the other gentleman is much younger, about Casey and Finn's age range, early 20s, short red hair, freckled face, looks pretty spry as he steps out from the passenger side. They both raise up flashlights, and you hear a somewhat familiar voice.
Before you jump into it, where does the hoof print situation and the bakery door, like, where is that relationship? Like, do the hooves go past the bakery door? Like, that
they
deep
do.
Into the...
Yeah, a little bit. A few feet past the bakery door. Yeah.
And then
I'd say another, like, 5 or so feet.
Follow-up question. How soon do I notice the red lights on my way back? Is it, like, immediately as I say it and, like, start to turn?
Yeah, I was going to say, as you, like, lower your flashlight after the door closes, you hear it latch, you turn, and you say, well, the baker didn't see anything. Then the light kind of starts to catch the edge of the alleyway there, and you hear a car pulling up.
I'd like to walk through the hoof prints on my way back.
Okay, sure. All right. Yeah, you take a stroll. Are you walking through all of them, like all the way back?
No, just from where...
Just,
no, just from, yeah, like, from the door. Yeah, like...
Yeah, all the way. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear at the end of the alley, and obviously Burnett and Mr. Balor are much closer there near the body. You can see the two gentlemen and hear Knuckles, Burnett, you in there?
Who's asking?
Murdoch, Francis Murdoch. We spoke on the phone. Is that you? Who's the lady? Because he asked for it. He was hoping for...
I know. I told you the best officer would meet the driver.
Ah, had to be you then, huh? Couldn't find your pops.
Sanford's busy.
Finny boy! They sent you, huh? How's your dad?
All is fine. Thanks for asking. How's your mother?
He walks up to shake your hand, Casey, after greeting Finn. Thanks for coming down on such short notice. And then kind of peers past you and, like, raises the flashlight past you. That you? Are you Knuckles?
Yeah. That's me.
And then you hear a Holly from the other kid as he's trained on the body.
Best time?
I don't know what you expected to see here, kid.
It's just as weird as the second one in a week.
Does he do a sand roll?
He holds it together. He kind of turns away and he says, nah, it's just, I already saw one of these earlier this week. God, 2 beheadings in town.
Yeah, it's not exactly
crazy. It's not right.
What's the what's the proximity on where you found those bodies in relation to here? Are they nearby?
Oh, no, the one's out in Revere, on the edge of town. And you would know, well, Casey and Finn would know Revere, Massachusetts, is like a suburb of Boston. It's a town of about 20 to 30,000 outside the city. He says, no, the other one's out in Revere. I mean, that's the only one we've had in town besides this. You would know the other one from the paper. You know, that poor chap in New York. Egan, by the way, and he, have you, I assume you've reached the group at this point, Luther. And yeah, this, the kid reaches out a hand and he grips your, are you accepting the handshake?
No, Luther just looks down at it.
Charmed, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah. He kind of holds it. He looks up and he says, Egan, damn it, Egan. Lieutenant.
Luther. Luther Nichols.
I heard your name before. You do some pretty slick detective work. Or in Arkham, right?
Yeah, where exactly did you hear about my name and my work, if you don't mind me asking?
Anybody at any respectable precinct keeps up with other people who put cases together. Obviously, we sometimes got to hire the outside help, and, you know, the good ones, the names travel. Finney knows. Anybody knows the right people, you hear about them.
You're famous around here. People know who you are. Just how it is. I told him. I tried telling him. He didn't believe me.
Yeah, I can see maybe why. Who doesn't shake a Bostonian's hand?
Well, I can't say I enjoy waking up as early as I've been made to wake up today.
What's the matter there, Nichols? You didn't have your coffee yet? And he kind of pats you on the shoulder.
I would love to, like, grab his wrist on the way. What do I got to roll for that? Is that dex?
Roll me a dex. Yeah. Okay. Roll me a dex roll. God, your dex is so high, too. This poor
kid. Are you ready to see my dex, Jeanette?
Yeah.
It's 90.
Jesus. Fucking 90.
That's a 31 out of 90 hard success. Yeah, I'll catch his hand or like his wrist on the way.
I'd appreciate it if you didn't touch me, sir.
And then I'll let go.
Oh, whoa. All right. Sorry there. Just being friendly. It's how we do things around here. Yeah, calm down there, Egan. What do you guys got? And Murdoch's looking over the body.
Oh, the baker next door didn't see anything. Came in at 3 a.m., didn't hear anything, nothing amiss, went straight to work.
Mm-hmm. All right. He's kind of bending down and looking over the body, shines his flashlight over to the head. He says, oh, I know this one.
What's the name?
I've seen her around. Franz. Karina Franz. She doesn't live too far from here, I don't think.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you would like to contact the show, there's a number of ways in which you can do so. Reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at The Eldritch Hour. You can email us at TheEldritchHour@gmail.com. And you can join our Discord community, a link provided in the show notes. If you enjoy what we do, please consider supporting the show. We have a Patreon campaign, a Ko-fi page, or you can purchase merch and even the music made for the show. Links to all of these provided in the show notes as well. The biggest way to support us is by word of mouth. Please consider telling a friend or someone you think may be interested in the show, or go the extra step and write us a review on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app, if applicable. Until next time, thanks again for listening.